Now, some of you might misinterpret this passage and think I need to be devoted to whoever is above me, whatever pastor. Hey, if they're not obeying the Lord, you need to be devoted to that. I see, sadly, people who are devoted to pastors in bad churches. They're devoted because he's the pastor and he shares the gospel. Wait a second, he shares the gospel, but he starves the sheep. That's an evil man. You don't be devoted to them.
Well, thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, in today's broadcast, we conclude our look in the book of Colossians.
Indeed we do, Dave, and it's been a wonderful study in this wonderful book. And so we just hope and pray that our listeners have been blessed by the book of Colossians. Now, with that in mind, we're going to begin a new series in the book of Haggai tomorrow. So let's finish up our look in Colossians chapter 4, verses 12 through 18.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Be diligently on your knees praying for these people that they would stand complete, fully assured in the will of God. Epaphras was praying for these Colossians. So we need to pray that people get into the Word and mature. And notice there's an explanation in our passage, verse 13. Paul says, "For I bear him witness." Paul's making a big deal about this, by the way. Witness that he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. I bear witness. He is concerned about you. And what's his concern being manifest in? Complaining. No, praying. Praying for them, right? Praying for them. So we could really learn. All of us, I'm sure every one of us should be convicted in this, that we don't pray enough for one another to be fully assured, that when we look at someone spiritually, we go, oh, what's that? Oh, you know, we should be praying, right? You know, we should be praying for one another, right? Absolutely. He says he has a deep concern. This term concerned speaks of a difficult circumstance which produces distress. Okay? That happens. We see people, we're concerned for them spiritually. Hey, those bad guys are at Colossae and they might turn their hearts. He's concerned, but know that they stand fully complete, assured. Rubs me in a bad church. No, yes, that's danger, but pray that they get out. Pray that they get fed the word of God, that they grow up and they become complete, fully assured in the will of God. Pray, pray, pray. I really believe we don't pray enough, to be honest with you. Pray. So with this in mind, he has a great concern. Now, the New King James has a textual variant that says zeal, or for the NESB, it says concern. You know, and I prefer the NESB because it comes from earlier manuscripts. New King James is over 1,000 years of translating back and forth, and it's, I'm not saying there's errors or not, but, you know, it's not as accurate as the NESB. But yet sometimes it, in a translation, it can help us see things in a better way. So I look at all kinds of different translations as I study. Okay, so with this in mind, we need to pray that people get into the Word and mature. Now, Colossae and Laodicea and Hierapolis were three cities in the Lycus River Valley, the very wealthy area. You'll see later on in Revelation that the Laodiceans, they become self-sufficient. That's what money does to you. They thought they had it all, but they didn't have it. They need to repent. And that was a little while later. But here, he has a deep concern for all three of these cities. And that concern was manifest in prayer. You know, we manifest our concern a lot of times in talking. We need to manifest our concern in praying. He had a deep concern for the children in the faith, his church. So do you have a deep concern for the body here? Do you agonize in prayer for the spiritual growth of believers? I hope you do. But if not, I hope you will. I hope you will. Okay, so authentic ministry includes deep concern for the body to grow and mature. Deep concern for growing mature, but it also includes devotion, serving with the skills and talents and gifts that God has supplied. Look at verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician. By the way, it's quite amazing. We got Paul, who's written so many epistles. We got Luke, who, as we'll see in a moment, wrote Luke and Acts. And we have John Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark. These guys are all hanging out around Paul, inspired by the Spirit. We got the Gospel brothers here, right? So here we have Luke. The beloved physician sends you his greetings and also Demas. Here, Luke is called the beloved physician. The implication is he is using his skills and probably helping the Apostle Paul. You know, the implication is he's faithful in using the skills and abilities that he has because he was with the Apostle Paul. For an example, Paul calls him a fellow worker in Philemon 1:24. And Luke is one of Paul's devoted companions. We see him throughout Acts, traveling with him. We see him including himself in that. He was there. And in the final days of Paul's life, he is one of the only one who did not desert the Apostle Paul. He's a faithful guy. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." Hey, the Lord's made it known he's going. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course." And I hope you all can say the same thing. Pray for one another that you would be able to, right? "Finish the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. Make every effort to come to me soon." He's talking to Timothy, by the way. "For Demas," and we'll see this in a minute, "having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Christians has gone to Galatia, Titus, to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me." Luke was faithful to the end of Paul's life. He was faithful, devoting, serving Christ by serving the Apostle Paul. We see that. And God used him, inspired by the Spirit, to write his accounts, having investigated things perfectly in that sense. Not prayer. You know the word from Luke. So then, he's faithful. And folks, I've been ministering for a while. It's been a while. And there have been a lot of people who have been faithful for a while and have deserted. These people who are no longer, in a sense, supporting the ministry or supporting me, they're gone. And there are people who have been faithful through all the troubles and have stayed and supported. And I so appreciate that. Been faithful to the Lord by being faithful to those that have put over them. So Luke was faithful to support Paul. So faithful. And you know, the implication again is that he's using his talent for the Lord. If you're a physician, you should be using it to help the body of Christ. If you're a pilot, give discounts on flights. So whatever it might be, you know, use your skills. You know, if you're good at something, you know, should be using it for the body of Christ. You see, Luke is a good guy. Deep concern and has devotion to serving his body. Then notice we have the statement, "and also Demas." Now, he was part of the original band of Paul's Asian disciples, not talking about Asia, you know, like China or Japan or that. This is the province of Asia, okay, the Roman province. He was one of the original band of his Asian disciples. And here we see, "and also Demas." The implication is he sends his greetings. That's the implication. But as I read in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10 a minute ago, it says, "For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." What a tragic statement. You know, there are those in the context of the body of Christ who are serving with certain gifts that need encouragement. They need those supporting gifts around them. And here the Apostle Paul was deserted by Demas, having loved this present world, and he's gone to Thessalonica. Tragic statement. Some people hang out for a while and appear like they may be falling. And Demas gives his greetings too. Well, that didn't last for very long, did it? By the time Paul was on his deathbed, Demas was gone. We always know there's going to be fakers that are hanging out. If you didn't learn that with Judas, then you're not going to understand it. People won't even recognize as fakers. Who is it, Lord, that's going to betray you? They've been around 3 years. But the Lord knows who are his. And let those who are his abstain from wickedness, right? Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And I want to look at verse 17. "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have with us. For many walk, of whom I've often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ." That's a pretty sad statement. "Whose end is destruction." That doesn't sound like they know the Lord, by the way. "Whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." You know, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Hey, we get tempted with worldliness, but love is a relationship. If you love it, it's your focus. The love of the Father is not in you. We see that. "Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted being gone to Thessalonica." Now, some of you might misinterpret this passage and think I need to be devoted to whoever is above me, whatever pastor. Hey, if they're not obeying the Lord, you need to be devoted to that. I see, sadly, people who are devoted to pastors in bad churches. They're devoted because he's the pastor and he shares the gospel. Wait a second, he shares the gospel, but he starves the sheep. That's an evil man. You don't be devoted to them. Be devoted to those who are following the Lord Jesus Christ and whom you are able to serve together. And your devotion is ultimately to the Lord in that context. So my question is, are you devoted to serving his people with the talents and gifts you're given? You're ready to say, hey, I'm pretty good at that. I can help fix that. You know what? That rash looks pretty bad. I have medical training, you know. Yeah, whatever it might be, being able to help. Hopefully you are. If you're a professional like Luke, are you using your talents for the body of Christ? Natural talents, a good piano player, good whatever it might be, are you using it for Christ? Those genuinely ministering for Christ use their talents and skills for Jesus and serving the body. Now, as we continue, we're just about finishing up here. Look at verse 15. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and also Nympha and the church that is in her house. Greet those brothers and sisters in Laodicea, that other town, right? You're close by. Greet them. And Nympha and the church that is in her house. Now, some question whether Nympha is feminine or masculine. Well, obviously, it doesn't make any difference. The scripture makes it clear. Church in her house. Okay? It's very clear, okay? We got a pronoun problem these days with all this wickedness, but here it's very clear what it is, right? So Nympha is serving the Lord. She has a church in her house. Now, that doesn't mean Nympha has her house open for 45 minutes or an hour each week. In these days, they met a lot throughout the week, right? She had a church in her house. She has a church. Greet her. Greet her. She was devoted to serving his people with her house. He mentions that church in her house. Why is that? Well, it's because she's serving the Lord. You know, many of you are willing to do so with your house and possessions. Praise the Lord. Now, there may not be opportunities at time, but is your heart willing? Willing and ready. That's the point. Willing and ready. And when that opportunity comes up, you're ready to do good deeds to meet pressing needs, right? Good deeds to meet pressing needs. Titus chapter 3. So with that in mind, are you devoted to Christ and his people like Luke and Nympha? You devoted to serving? We've seen examples of Epaphras, Luke, Nympha, authentic ministry, serving the body of Christ, devotion to serving his people. Now notice as we finish up here that authentic ministry also includes exhortation to be in the Word of God. Look at verse 16. And when this letter is read among you, have it read in the church of the Laodiceans, and you for your part read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. Paul rightly assumes that this letter will be read. And when the letter is read, he's like, they're not going to set it aside. When it's read, he assumes they're going to read it. And when you read it, get it read over at Laodicea also. Laodicean church. Now, was this merely Paul's thoughts? Absolutely not. When the Thessalonians heard the word of God from Paul, what did they say? And for this reason, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, we constantly thank God that when you receive from us the word of God's message, you accepted it as not as the word of men, but as the word of what it really is, the word of God, which performs its work in you who believe. We see here, when you've read it, make sure it gets over to the Laodiceans also. And then notice what he says in the end of verse 16, and you, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. You go, wait a second. There's another letter? Well, it's Colossians here, we see, right? Well, most likely this was Ephesians. Ephesians was probably a circular letter. A lot of the manuscripts had no church name where it would say Ephesians. And evidently it would go in that circle like at the churches of Revelation, chapter 2 through 3, which would start in Ephesus and end in Laodicea. So it got the name Ephesus because that was the first place it went to. But it most likely, so he's saying, and when my letter comes to Laodicea, have it read here. Have it read here. Now, I don't want to stumble you here, but most of you know I like McDonald's, okay? And I have a very vivid memory as a kid going into McDonald's, very vivid, ordering a cheeseburger. I'm sorry, we're out of meat. What? McDonald's with no meat? Well, that's like a church without the Bible, guys. You know, it's like a plane without wings, a ship without a rudder. We need to have the Word of God read in church. We need to be going through the Word of God. We should be going through books in our studies. We should be going through the Word of God. We should be reading it like we do. We read 1 John over that. We read through the Word of God. We should be reading it. We know in 1 Thessalonians they were commanded to read the letter. We know that we're to be reading Scripture. We're to be reading it. Something is wrong if the Word of God is not being preached and read in church. Something is wrong. Acts 2:42, they were continually devoted to the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, and prayer, right? 1 Timothy chapter 4:13, until I come, Paul says, give attention to the public reading of Scripture and exhortation and teaching. Read the Word, exhort, and teach, right? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I saw me charged in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge, the living and the dead, and by his appearing kingdom. Preach the Word. These churches that have their little Bible studies with the books, it'd be better if they just read through Ephesians, the whole book. Just read the Word of God and then teach it, right? He says here, preach the Word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure a sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires and will turn aside their ears from the truth and will turn to myths or stories. Paul told the Thessalonians, I adjure you by the Lord, have this letter read to all the brethren. You should be hearing the Scriptures. It should be read when it's taught. It should be read in general. We should have Scripture reading like we do. We should have Scripture reading. In this era of well-packaged evangelical sermons, they're all packaged, by the way, and they're biblically correct, enough to say, yeah, they taught the Word, they taught the Word. No, they're just a little bit of baby steps week after week. But how many of these churches read and teach through the Word of God? How many of these people have heard all of Ephesians or Colossians or 1 Thessalonians? You need to be in the Word of God. Ministry should not be, and I mentioned this, in books. Instead of the 40 days of purpose, it should be 365 days of Scripture, right? That's what we're going to do here. A new pattern, new thing, right? Man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Authentic ministry exhorts us to be in the Word. And Paul is saying, hey, after you read the letter, get it to the Laodiceans. And when their letter comes from Laodicea, you read it in front of everybody. Get it out there. Then lastly, or second to last here, authentic ministry exhorts us to serve in our giftedness. Look at verse 17. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you've received from the Lord that you may fulfill it. Who is Archippus? From the beginning of Philemon, we see that Archippus was a fellow soldier from Philemon. So obviously he was part of the Colossian church. Okay. And he was probably in that context of those in Philemon's house in that area. Some think that he may be his son, possibly. Possible. We don't know. But what we do know is that Archippus was neglecting something. You see, we've all been given gifts. Take heed to the service, the ministry which you have received from the Lord that you may fulfill. You see, each one of us has received spiritual gifts. Some ministries are more different than others. Some are for the whole body. Some are for individual parts that work together, right? Take heed that you receive from the Lord, that you may fulfill it. See to it. It's a command. And remember, this was to be read in front of everybody. So imagine that again. You're sitting there, and all of a sudden your name comes up, right? Evidently, Epaphras had said, Archippus is not doing what he needs to do. He needs to be exhorted. General ministry exhorts you to do what God has called you to do. Again, 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, right? Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterance of God. That means speak the word of God. Whoever serves, let him do so by the strength which God supplies. That means you do it by his strength, not your own. So that in all things God may be glorified through Christ Jesus, who belongs to the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And I want to help you. I want to help you learn your gifts. It's not all official serving on the board that says this, I got to do this day and do that. You know, there's certain things like that. God gives us differing gifts. And all in the context of love, we serve one another. And I want to help you know what they are and help you serve so that it wouldn't be said to you, take heed. Don't neglect the ministry God has given you. So then, notice the last thing here. We see there's a cost. Verse 18. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Now, remember, he had some kind of eye problem or something, you know. We know he was dictating his letters, but here he writes the greeting, the very last part, in his own hand. I write this in my own hand. Some say, well, then he didn't write the rest of it. Yes, he did. He dictated it. Now he's just writing this last portion, this greeting. And notice what he says. Remember my imprisonment. You know, he was in prison for Christ. You can look in Philippians as a prisoner of Christ. And God had used his imprisonment for a greater opportunity for the gospel. Remember that difficulties for Christ bring out opportunities for his word to go forth. You see that? And he says, grace be with you. You know, it'll cost you to serve Christ. You're going to run into difficulty. Satan's going to attack you all the time. The world's going to tempt you. You know, your flesh is going to tempt you. You know, it's going to be difficult. The reality is we need to be willing to deny ourselves. Luke 9:23, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who saves it. But we know that God is for us. Who could be against us, right? So count the cost. Eternal glory with some short suffering now, or gain it all now and lose your soul, right? That's the cost. Paul says, remember my imprisonment. Grace be with you. You know, grace is God's favor through Jesus. That's the desire. May it be with you. May his grace encompass you. May you walk in his grace. May you serve by his grace. May you rest in his grace. This is a picture of real ministry. This should help you understand if your church is biblical or not. It should help you understand what real ministry is when people sign you up to go do things and you've only been in church for one day. And you see churches like that. They already got people serving. They don't even know if they know the Lord. You go, what in the world is going on here? We've seen real ministry here. Would God call you a faithful bondservant like Tychicus and Epaphras? Are you deeply concerned for the spiritual growth of those who God's placed in your path like Epaphras? Are you devoted to serving his people with your skills and talents and stuff like Luke and Nympha? Or are you on a deadly path of loving the world like Demas? Are you like Archippus, neglecting the ministry? Take heed, get to it. So then, let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required that stewards be found trustworthy. Remember what Jesus said at the end of his life? I've glorified thee on earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. May we be able to say that because we abided in Jesus, and he did it through us.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the Ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. And Greg, as we close today's broadcast and wrap up this entire series, give us a final thought for us to take away.
Well, Dave, my final thought about this wonderful book of Colossians is that it's all about Christ. You see, in Jesus Christ, we have a complete salvation. In Jesus Christ, we have everything we need. In him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so don't get taken captive by the bad guys who substitute man's philosophies in a religious package, but trust Jesus. Set your mind on the things above, not the things of earth. Allow his word to consume your heart and his peace to rule. It's all about Jesus, a totally sufficient Savior. Well, we're done with Colossians. So with this in mind, I want to encourage you to make plans to join us tomorrow as we begin a new study in the book of Haggai.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.